start practicing and getting used to the kind of meetings we're having. We're going to start having more of it next month. Is to get used to the fact that the service can start from anywhere. Sorry, folks, please let me alert them at the back. All the teenagers stay in. The teenagers are staying in. They are old enough to learn now. That's why throughout this month and next month, the teenagers are staying in. Okay? They need to learn what we're learning. How many of you agree with that? Yeah. Particularly your generation, they need to learn what we're learning. Glory to God. So they're staying throughout this month and next month. They're staying. Hallelujah. All right, let's just lift up our hands one more time and give God praise and thank Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, so I will start off from where we started last week before I do turn into what we want to look at in God. So we're looking at how to yield to the Spirit of God, and it's a skill that every child of God must learn. Every child of God must learn. Okay? Every child of God must learn. It's a skill that every child of God must learn, how to yield to the Spirit. Okay? Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 16. John chapter 16 from verse 12. Now, I said something last week that when it comes to Holy Ghost meetings, sometimes the one who will bless us, who will start the meeting, doesn't have a text. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. A Holy Ghost meeting is a meeting where the Spirit of God is leading, instructing, guiding, and demonstrating. Now, the Word of God is preached and or taught. Okay, but then even the manner in which it is taught, or given, or preached, or proclaimed, is a function of specific leading of the Spirit. So it's not a normal service. So don't plan to come that service must start from here or from this particular point. Why? It's a Holy Ghost meeting. That means we want to see more of the things of the Spirit in operation through every single believer. And if we're going to do that, we can't be always cut and dried. Say amen. There has to be an expectation and a readiness to flow with the Spirit of God in whatever direction that He leads us and He guides us. Glory to God. All right, John chapter 16, verse 12. We're going to start. I said some things last week. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How be it, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Next verse. He shall what? Glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Next verse. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I shall take of Mine, and what? Show it unto you. Now you realize that Jesus said this after 3.5 years of ministry. After teaching in John chapter 12, John chapter 13, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16. So this is the tail end of the instructions Jesus gave before He went to obtain redemption for us on the cross. Then He now says, I have yet many things to say unto you. And that phrase, many things, actually means that there is more to say than I've said. That means the bulk that what I want to communicate, I've not even communicated. I have yet many things to say, which means that there is more after the cross than before the cross. Amen. That's what Jesus said. He said, but how be it? Why couldn't He speak? You cannot bear them now, which is you don't have the capacity to receive them now. Their thinking was Old Testament. Their thinking was different from the information that Jesus wanted to pass across to them. So He says, you can't bear them now. If the disciples couldn't bear those things, it means the Old Testament patriarchs couldn't bear those things. Remember, whatever prophecy they spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. So, it wasn't something that passed through their understanding. It was something that passed through their lips. So, revelation passing through your understanding is majorly a New Testament theme. The capacity to understand the things of the Spirit is made available through the sacrifice of Jesus in the New Testament. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. That is, the capacity is not there. But when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, and if you followed our previous teachings, I explained to us that there are many things He just say in what you call a summarized form. So when He said, I'll be it when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, you pause. You try to understand, what does He mean by when He, the Spirit of truth, is come? We know He's speaking about the Holy Ghost. But when He says, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He's referring to an event. That event therefore presupposes that certain things will be in place when that event takes place. So when He says, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will what? Guide you into all truth. Look at John chapter 7. and verse 38. John chapter 7, verse 38. What does it mean by when he the Spirit of truth come? He that believed on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, the word he says is referring to Jesus. Out of Jesus' belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Next verse. But this speak he of what? The Spirit. We did that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet. This is what giving is italicized. We look at that another day. Because that Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. So if we look at John chapter 7 verse 39. When Jesus said, I'll be it when he the truth of truth is come. It is safe for us to say. Jesus is saying, when I am glorified. Is that fine? When I'm glorified. That's when the Spirit of truth will come. So whatever the Spirit of truth will communicate will be the reality of Jesus' glorification. Say amen. Okay. Then I said also, the empty tomb is not proof of Jesus' resurrection. The empty tomb is a physical evidence to the Jews. It's not a spiritual evidence. That's why back then when it happened, some of the Jews paid soldiers to go around and spread a lie that his body was stolen. Hearts that are filled, hearts that are reborn, is a testimony of Jesus' resurrection. Say amen. So Jesus' burial was glorious. His resurrection was glorious. His ascension was more glorious. His sitting was more glorious. You having the Spirit is what surpasses in glory. Say amen. Say, have the Spirit. I'm a son of God now. I will always be a son of God. Hallelujah. So when he said, I'll be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide into all truth. Last week we saw the word, that word truth is a word for reality. We saw that in John chapter 14. What reality? The reality of what Jesus accomplished by his resurrection. So the Spirit of truth will guide you to that reality. And one of those realities, we see Peter preaching about it in Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2 verse 32. Just follow me closely this morning. This Jesus, this is Peter preaching, as God raised up, whereof we are all what? Witnesses. Next verse. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has what? Shed forth this, which you now see and hear. When was the Holy Ghost given? Let me ask you a question. When was the Holy Ghost given? I'm listening, I'm waiting. When was the Holy Ghost given? When Jesus sat where? At the Father's right hand. So, if you put the scriptures together, John chapter 7 verse 39, this speak ye of the Holy Ghost, which those who believe on him should want to receive. Should is a futuristic term. When Jesus was teaching, nobody could receive the Holy Ghost. He said, which they may believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was yet to be glorified. So in that John chapter 16 that we started out with, when the Bible says that, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. The question is, what will the Holy Ghost hear? Man of free will speech now. I'm not seeing the Holy Ghost saying. What will the Holy Ghost say that he would not guide into? It will have to do with things that belong to where Jesus is seated. How many of you agree with that? Hallelujah. Are you in agreement with that? So, again, Peter said, he therefore being by the right hand of God exalted. Peter tells us that Jesus has been exalted. In explaining what happened on the day of Pentecost, Peter began to explain the fact that Jesus has been glorified. The word exalted and glorified are synonymous. They mean the same thing. So Peter explaining the manifestation that they saw, believers demonstrating the Spirit, Peter said, is because Jesus has been what? Glorified. Say amen. So because Jesus has been glorified, what Peter tells us in the book of Acts, we have consistently explained the fact that the book of Acts is not a book of doctrine. It's an historical account of what happened. So we have an eyewitness account of events that happened. So it uses eyewitness language. When you want to focus on doctrine, you go some to the Gospels, some mostly to the epistles. So in the epistles, Paul explains to us, what does it mean for Jesus to be glorified? Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 7 with him, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of God's inheritance were. Where is God's inheritance? Where is God's inheritance? Don't your sins, he's saying me. Look at the next verse. And what is the word exceeding greatness of his power to us what we believe, according to his working of his mighty power, which he what? Wrought. What's another word for wrought in English? Worked. What's another word for worked? Accomplished. Is that okay? Accomplished in who? In Christ. When he gives you a time frame. This took place when Jesus was raised. So Paul is gradually bringing us into a truth that was previously not known until Paul was commissioned into ministry. Peter tells us Jesus being by the right hand of God exalted. So we see Jesus alone in the book of Acts. That's how it's painted. But look at what Paul says to us. He says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and then he set him where? At his own right hand. Where? In the heavenlies. What does that mean? Far above all principality and what? Power. Now pay attention now. In the heavenlies is not a vertical height. That's so important. Because when you're reading English, which is what King James used to translate, most of us, our attention is on the English implication of that statement. In the heavenlies doesn't mean somewhere high. Vertically high. It's a high, but it's a spiritual position signifying supremacy. You can stand on the same podium with someone and be higher than the person. Yes or no? So when the vice president and president sits, who is higher? Are they sitting at the same level? Do they occupy the same office? No. Okay? So you have the CEO of an organization and his PA is seated beside him. Does that mean they are at the same level? No. So the eye there, or the heaven there, is not a reference to a vertical eye. Every time you see the word heavenly, stop thinking about the physical planet up there. The one heaven is a sphere of existence. It's a place of authority. That means your status in the spirit now is with Christ in the heavens. In the heavens means that above all spiritual beings, you are seated in the most superior place. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Again, see what it says. It says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only where in this world, but also in that which is to come. That means the authority that you have in Christ can't be improved upon. It can't increase. It's the highest in existence. It can't be added to. It can't be devalued. It can't depreciate. Hallelujah. Not only in this age, but even in that which is one to come. So you have absolute authority because Jesus' conquest was also absolute. So see what it says now. And has put all things under his feet. No, every statement Paul makes is a statement that you need to prayerfully consider. To put all things under means the conquest was over all things. Means the authority is over all things. So he put all things under. All things means what? All things. So has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to who? The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that one fills all in all. Let me rephrase that statement. We have Jesus as the head because of what he accomplished, and because of what he accomplished, the church exercises authority through him. And vice versa, he exercises authority through us. Look at the next verse. And you, hallelujah, remember when you're reading the scriptures, there are no chapters in your original rendering. The chapters and verses were added for this purpose of reference. Easy reference. So you read chapter 1 into chapter 2 for you to get the sense. It now says, I've just told you what took place in Christ. Christ has been given as the head over all things to the church. For you to understand the implication, you also, you as he quickened. Who is refined to as you? Say, remember you were once dead in trespasses and sins. It says, you, in time past, you walk according to the fashion of this world, according to the authority of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of what disobedience. Next verse. And among whom we also all our conversation, our manner of life, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, within the desires of the flesh and of the mind, who were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4. But God, hallelujah, this is only God that is allowed in the epistles, but God who is one, rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Next verse. Even when we were dead in sins, as one, quickened us together. The word quicken means to do something simultaneously. It's to co-quicken. That means it wasn't quickened that you were quickened. The quickening was done together. So that the power that quickened him, quickened you at the same time. Hallelujah. See what it says? You were quickened together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Next verse. And you were what? Raised up together. You were made to sit. So where are you seated? Where are you seated? Notice what places is italicized. So he's not in several places. In the heavenly stature and standing and status. Hallelujah. That's important. So when he, the spirit of truth, is come, it will guide you into all truth. If we guide into all truth, when will he come after Jesus is glorified? What does it mean for Jesus to be glorified? It means you also have been what? Glorified. So the truth he will guide into is the fact that you are seated where he is seated, and therefore you have the authority that he has. That's the truth he's going to guide into. So Jesus, when he was preaching in John's gospel, wasn't referring to his status when he was ministering to them. He was talking about the futuristic event which is now in our past. Are you saved? Are you a believer? Are you born again? Have you been quickened? Have you been made alive? Have you been raised up? Are you now seated? Hallelujah. So it will guide you into all truth. And that's so important. So the reality, what has been accomplished, is what Jesus guides us into by his spirit. So Luke 24:49 that we saw last week now makes it. Look at Luke 24:49 again. Look at what Jesus said. We're going to add a little twist to it. Just follow. Behold, I sent what? The promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye where? In the city of one, until ye be from. So here's how we read it most of the time. They are to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they are indeed with power from on high. So if you read it in King James, the way it's written, the picture you have is this: we must stay in Jerusalem. When Jesus is ready, he will endow us with what? Or endow us with what? Power from where? So the picture in your mind is this: Jesus is seated on high, you are down, then he drops it, or you catch it. That's the picture that's in my mind. But notice the phrasing, behold, is an active verb. It means see, observe closely. It says, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued. And I explained to us last week, the word endued is not passive. The word endued is a verb that addresses the recipient. The word endued is an action that explains what the recipient should do. So the person who is tarrying is the recipient. The person who is endued is the recipient. The person who is responsible for being endued is the recipient. What does Jesus say? I send, not I will send. Pay attention again. He says, until you be a new power from on high. Again, don't let the phrase on high imply a vertical height. On high is where you are seated. Say, I'm seated on high with Christ Jesus. Notice why Paul says you should pray. Because the average believer doesn't think he's seated where Christ is seated. In fact, it's like this. Christ is seated. Even if you say he's with Christ, it is they gave him a cushion chair on the floor. In the first place, seated with Christ is a figure of speech. Because if you are all seated, the chair is very long. How many of you know that? The only thing here will be long. It's a bench. Because when you sat, we don't know what number you are. You were number 7.8 billion. The chair is very long. So the sitting is a figure of speech. The word seated simply means in authority permanently. It means an authority and a victory that abides. That's what it means to sit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand that? So we're seated with him, and he says, you'll be endued with power from on high. So the tarrying part is a reference to the recipient, meaning that you are seated with Christ on high. When you realize it, put on power. Hallelujah. When you realize where you are, what should you do? Put on power. The word endue, it means to wear or to dip yourself into something. The something you're going to dip yourself into is where you are. Hallelujah. Is where you are. You know, years back, in trying to get people filled with the Spirit, one of the things I discovered was that if you can get them to understand that the Spirit of God is not going to come from heaven, he has come. Jesus sent the Spirit as proof that he is risen. So you don't pray for the Father to give the Spirit as though he's going to come. You are meant to yield to the Spirit. So Jesus is teaching them a principle. I have done all that needs to be done. You are now on high. Now be endued or put on the power where you are. Say, I'm seated with Christ in the heavenlies, far above or principality and power. Now, if that didn't sink, he now told them in Mark chapter 16, look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that, again, when you read what Jesus said, the reason why we have harmony of the Gospels is to see, when you read what Mark says, you need to go to John to find out what the believing means. Believing doesn't mean these signs are for those that keep believing. The believing is once. To believe means to become a son of God. So these signs are for those who have become sons of God, is what that phrase means. Say amen. So if you are a son of God, these signs are for those that believe. It's not that you keep believing. You believe once to become a child of God. So it says, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, shall they what? Cast. The implication is this. Can you cast out devils? You know, can you cast out and do you cast out are two different questions. There are questions that Jesus will not need to answer. You will answer based on your thinking. So he says, in my name, these are the signs. What does it mean to believe? Do you have believed to become a new creation? What does it mean to be a new creation? To bear his name. What does it mean to bear his name? To have his authority. So these signs, these are the symptoms, these are the things that we'll see that will announce those who have become sons of God, who have believed in Christ. In his name, they will what? Cast out devils. So if you've never cast out, the answer is in that statement. You have never cast out. Can you cast out? Yes. Why? Jesus cannot lie. Moreover, you're already a son. A son means you are far above all principality and one power. You're already far. You don't exercise yourself to be far. You are far already. What do you adjust? Your thinking. Paul says, pray that the eyes of your understanding be what? Enlightened. You know, in the natural, if you're promoted beyond how your mind is renewed, you will mess up at first. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I've given an illustration before. If you've ever flown first class, the first time, is that somebody has tutored you, but you are likely to miss how the seat belts are used, how to adjust your mind, miss this because you are used to economy. I mean, even not. So to save yourself the embarrassment, when you get there, ask those who have been there for a while how to do it. It's only that day you ask. After that day, but if you get there and you are trying to form, things will happen because they will know you just came. You are not among us, so. You know, somebody can buy you the ticket. It doesn't mean you qualify for the status. I mean, you know. That's when they offer you something, you say, am I paying for this one too? Because you're not used to it. So, there's something about your mind catching up with the reality of where you are. You can be promoted beyond your thinking. Your thinking is a function of growth. But your status is an inheritance. Hallelujah. So, Jesus is saying, tarry until. What were they doing when they were praying? They were praying. What happened as we were praying? They saw what he said. They realized where they were. Then they put on the power. Hallelujah. They saw what he said. They realized who they were. Then they put on. He said, until you be endued. The one endued is not talking about the one who will give. Is the one who will what? Receive. Glory to God. So I said this. In a Holy Ghost meeting, we don't wait for the Spirit. The Spirit is within us. We are the ones who display the Spirit. In a Holy Ghost meeting, you're not waiting for God to come. Where is it coming from? Every statement in the New Testament is a revelation to let you know when we come together, certain things should happen, should normally happen if we give it room. It is not God getting a good mood. It is we realizing what he has done and expressing it. Hallelujah. So how well the meeting goes, how far we go in the meeting, is a function of how yielded we are. What aids your yieldedness? Revelation, knowledge. Glory to God. Revelation, knowledge. That's why we teach and keep teaching, because teaching hates understanding. The reason why you have yielded thus far is because you have only understood thus far. The way you will yield more is to understand more. So that there are things you're waiting for God to do, you realize he's waiting on you to do. Because it's no longer his prerogative. I was counseling someone not too long ago. And I've had to say that over and over. And some of those teachings are teachings that we need to teach over and over. And I told the person, I said, God has done all we do about the devil in your life. He's not going to do anything else. So to pray, oh God, destroy this devil for me. It's an unanswered prayer. Because you will never find in all the epistles where we are asked to pray for God to do something about the devil. We are asked to take authority over the devil. 1 Peter 5:8. Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary devil goes about as one, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What does the next verse say? Whom resist, how? Steadfast in what? Can we replace faith for victory? Is your faith in the victory of Christ? So, he said, whom resist steadfast in the victory you have in Christ? That's where your faith is. That's what you should do. In case you didn't get it, that's what Peter said. Paul said it. James said it. Three apostles said it. That's what Peter said. James put it this way. James 4:7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist. Resist. Influence the devil. Succumb to the devil. Encourage the devil. Run from the devil. What did you do? So who is to actively do something? You or God? Does that not inform the fact that you must have the ability and the authority to do so? Yeah. Says resist the devil and reward. Can we reverse that statement? If you don't resist, he won't flee. So, the reason why he has endured so long is because you have condoned it for so long. Now, when I say condone, condone doesn't mean deliberate. Condone can be because you don't know. Because you are ignorant. Isn't it? Ephesians 4:29 or 4:27. Look at what Paul says about the devil also. Neither give place to whom? Does that look like you can just take the place if he wants to? No, you are the one that gives place to the devil. Now, in the same way also, why are these instructions given? You are seated. You are in authority. All the power you need is with you. All the authority required is where? Is with you. So, you don't ask the one who has given you authority to come and do something to the devil with what authority? The one he has already given you. So, asking God to go and do something is like saying, God, you are lying. I don't believe the devil is defeated. In fact, he's very active. Do something. Why does he tell you to do something? Because he gave you power. He told you are far above. So exercise the mastery you have because he has already what? Settled victory on your behalf. Whatsoever is born of God, say I'm born of God. Finish verse. And we need the exam in this church. Whatsoever is born of God does what? And this is the that overcomes God. Even what? Then you see people taking the word faith out of context. He just told you what it means by overcome. He said overcome means you were born. He says by your very birth, it's over. Hallelujah. By your very birth, it's over. So your faith and your birth, they are one and the same. That's what it means. Your being born is your faith. You were born into victory. You came out of the womb of victory. Hallelujah. Whatever is born of God overcomes over. And this is the victory that overcomes what? Even what? Our faith. That's what it means. So you can't ask him to do something. Now, Jesus is telling disciples. He says, behold, I send the promise of the Father, tarrying Jerusalem, until. The word until is a reference to the people who are meant to receive. How long will they stay? How long it takes them to realize? Until you be endued, until you put on. Since you are the one that will put on, if you put on day one, fine. If you put on day 10, fine. But you are the one who will want put on. So you put on when you realize what has been what? Accomplished. Say amen. That's what it means. That's what it's trying to say. Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. You then? But you shall what? Receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. Now again, look at the rendering. Historical account. Look at what we just finished reading. Until you be endued. Until is a reference to when you are ready, put on. The word endue means to wear it. Now, Jesus is telling him again this. And what is it? You shall receive power. And we said the word receive is what active. It's not passive. You don't accept. You take up. Why are you taking up? Power is already where you are. So, you shall take up power. You shall take from the power. After which, listen carefully, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Look at the way it's written here. You shall receive power after that. So the implication in your mind is that when the Holy Ghost come upon me, I will have power. No. You will receive power, and the power you receive is you putting the Holy Ghost where? On you. The phrase putting the Holy Ghost on you means you bring him from the unseen to the seen. You are the one who demonstrates the Spirit. Who runs in the Holy Ghost meaning? The Holy Ghost or you? Who laughs in the Holy Ghost meaning? The Holy Ghost or you? Who gives a message in tongues? The Holy Ghost or you? So you are the one demonstrating the Spirit. So think about it. Even if you are prompted and you don't yield, we will see the Spirit at work. No. So let me ask another way. The results we get in the Holy Ghost meeting, does it depend more on God or us? So notice the emphasis of the local assembly is teaching, so we can understand our place of responsibility and learn to yield. The truth makes it easy for you to yield to the flow of God's Spirit. That's what happens. So every meeting, there are things you are seeing. Every meeting, there are things you are praying. Why are you praying? You have the Spirit of God within you. What does your prayer do? It creates a supply. You are also creating a demand on the Spirit. So the gifts we will see in operation will be gifts that will answer to the needs you have prayed and you have made a demand of by your confession. So it is the prayer part is one, the confession part is another. Both of them will create a supply that will ensure that a demand is placed for certain manifestations of the Spirit to be in expression for you and I to receive. But it doesn't take place without us. We are the ones who covet. We are the ones who desire. We are the ones who confess. We are the ones who pray. And all those activities are doing just one thing, making a supply of the Spirit available for the meeting. For instance, now, I know by the Spirit of God there will be surgeries in August. Hallelujah. Now, notice where I said it, there will be surgeries in August. The interesting part is that it's not that God is warming up. By the time you get to August, it's now warm. That revelation is for whose benefit? Us. To prepare our minds. It's not that I cannot do it yesterday. No. Because when you want power, God does say, hold on, I've been sleeping for a while. Let me warm up. No. You are the one who needs the revelation of the power. So the confession is towards the meeting. The prayer is towards the meeting. So that when you get to the meeting, those who are meant to minister in peculiar ways will be able to minister. Number one. Number two, you that you are meant to yield in particular ways will be able to yield also. All those things make up for what we see as to the glory of God in these meetings. So the worst thing you can do in a Holy Ghost meeting is to be a spectator. God forbid. That's a legitimate God forbid. Tell your neighbor, God forbid. I will not be a spectator. When my Father's Spirit and His power is at work, I will participate. I have been made a participator. Even if I don't understand what's fully going on, I will join in. You know, I've tried to understand. It's difficult as a pastor to understand. Because even as a lay person in a local assembly, I've never stood aloof from the workings of God's power. I've been so eager and zealous. I've never been able to understand how people just sit down. Power of God is flowing and they are looking like God's uncle. You just look at, you know, as well, all these things are for children. We have done these things in the past. And they've never done it. And they are problem. In fact, they are in problem. In fact, they are problem. And they are just looking, you know, as in, like, look at you in a supervisory way. Okay, yeah, you are doing it well. You are not even doing well. They are doing nothing. Prefect of the house of God. Oh God. You just like, I don't understand. After all the teaching, after all the experiences, after all the meetings, you still stand aloof from the flow of God's power. And Jesus told them, 120 people yielded the same day, the same time. They started flowing. And after 3 hours, we saw God's mighty power and manifestation to show you that Christ is counting on you, counting on me for His glory to be in full manifestation. He doesn't do it without us. We can't do it without Him. So our yieldedness is part of our worship in this kind of meetings. That's what our worship is. When you yield, it's part of worship. Because you want God to be seen. You want Christ to be put on display. So it's extremely important that you understand that every step you yield, you are allowing God's power to come into expression for the benefit of others. It says you shall receive. That word we say, you will take up. You take from, you take up. So Acts chapter 2 verse 4. Look at Acts chapter 2 verse 4. This is Jesus speaking to them. How did they take up the power? Acts chapter 2 verse 4. See what it says. And they were all what? Filled. We what? With the. And began to, as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So let me ask again. They were to tarry in Jerusalem until they put on power. Then Jesus now told them, you shall receive what? Power. We will take up power. Then Acts 2:4 now says, they were all filled. They were filled means they took up power. How do we know they took up power? They began to speak. So speaking is a primary way of taking on power in the New Testament. Speaking is greatly emphasized in the New Testament. It's the primary way we take on power in the New Testament. We take on power to speaking. Let me ask you a moment. Can you speak? Can you speak? Let me define it. Can you speak in tongues? Do you know if you say you cannot speak in tongues, like saying you are not born again? Jesus said, this sign shall follow those that believe in my name. In my name is those who believe. What do you believe? You believe Christ rose from the dead. That's salvation, isn't it? So everybody who believes Christ has risen is saved, isn't it? And everybody who believes is saved can what? Speak with tongues. So we have believers who have not spoken, not that they cannot speak. There are different things. They can speak, but they may have not spoken. And we believe that this season you will speak in Jesus' name. Because you should be able to speak. It just comes in you, but somebody was brought to me some years ago. Bad doctrine can greatly hinder your faith. The brother kept trying to get him filled with the Spirit. He was already saved. Tried to get him to speak with the Spirit. He kept resisting. Say, I've done everything I know how to do. And that was Dr. Debo and I, personally in Bible study. It was Dr. Debo and I. So when they came and he told me the peculiarity of the issue, of course, they have laid hands, laid legs, everything that they can lay, they've laid. The guy wasn't just. So the brother was tired. So when he brought him down, man, there's another minister by Dr. Debo Adebola were there. So we sat him down. Dr. Debo shared where we were touching. I was looking at them. I just waited. I just said, the guy was looking at me with hands. And actually, I said, now, I am not going to lay anything on you. I'm going to give you some instructions. I'm seated. You're looking at me. If it's possible for the Holy Ghost to come upon you physically, he has not just come, he has overcome. I said, your problem is that you think the Holy Ghost will make you speak. That's the problem. You look at me. Say, yes. Is it not supposed to make us speak? I said, open to Acts 2:4 again. Who began to speak? The Holy Ghost. I know when people are taught wrong, they will just read what they believe into the Bible. I hope you know that. Yes, sir. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak other tongues. Yes, he says the Holy Ghost was one who was making them. He was making them. How was he making them? Read again. You read it in English and you still read what is in your mind inside it. I said, read again. And they all began. Read it. Clear English. This one is no longer a doctrinal problem. It's a grammar problem. Read it again. They began to. Who spoke? The Holy Ghost said no. Who? Disciples. Said, but the Holy Ghost. Don't put that one there. Read again. They began to speak. As the Holy Ghost gave them what? So what the Holy Ghost said, utterance. Who's this week here? And he started speaking. No prayer. What was blocking for me? Understanding. He didn't understand. When we come for this kind of meeting, you know when we say that? We want to rejoice. Some believers are waiting for something to make them laugh. And I'm really wondering, something to make you laugh. Which is waiting for the sensation. You need a comedian for that. But the word of God being preached to you should make your joy overflow. You already have the joy. Which means there's an excitement that comes from a different part of you that is not soul, your spirit. It communicates it to your soul. Your soul picks it up and bubbles outside. There's hardly a believer who has not experienced the joy of the Lord at one time or the other. You may not have known how to fully cooperate with it because your original thinking is blocking. You are saying that, how can someone just be laughing? Why can't you just be laughing when your victory is permanent? When you have already escaped hell, death, and the grave. When your sins are eternally forgiven. When the Bible says that, whatsoever is born of God, overcome it. You have got little children and you have overcome them. Not you will overcome them. You have already overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. I don't know. It was always waiting for a physical sensation. You know, like, I'm not feeling. What are you feeling? I'm not feeling. I'm just, Pastor, I'm not just feeling. What are you feeling? The anointing. I don't understand. You want to go back to the days of Moses. What do you want to do? We said the Spirit is in you. You say, I can't feel it. Moses has the right to say, I can't feel it. Because he never had the Spirit within him. Hallelujah. He was never a son. Say, I'm a son. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Where we sit, we laugh there. it is not what we do, it is where we are. Where we are now, laughing is all we do. Shouting is all we do. Dancing is all we do. Where we are now. It's not feeling, it's where we are. How can you feel like you are saying, I feel saved? When you forget to read your Bible and you don't pray, the feeling will go. You will now know whether you ought to believe the word or to act on your feeling. How many of you feel confident that I'm a son of God? No, your confession remains the same whether you feel like it or not. Because your feelings can lie, but the word of God can't lie. Hallelujah. So when we come to these meetings, remember, the laughter you are suppressing is somebody's victory in expression. Don't forget what I just said. The dance you were meant to dance, that you are too self-conscious to get up, they will not be looking at me. Before uncle, are you saying? You see, if I now start shouting, when they say that, why is in a Holy Ghost meeting, nobody can question why you are shouting. You have felt like running scenes. You are trying to comport. What are you comporting? That's a supply of the Spirit that's meant for the meeting. That you're meant to add to the meeting. Think about it. Well, sometimes we're unconsciously proud. You know, people like us, we are very conservative. You are conscious. You are really conscious. Say, I am reshaved. You are really reshaved. This is how we should be saved. And act like you are. You can hardly be more gentle than Pastor Tolu. Or more quiet than Pastor Jimmy. If you see her rejoicing. If you are listening, where is Mr. Akiyemi at the back? If you see Mr. Akiyemi jumping and you are not moving, you need reconsecration to the things of God. And so when you see them shouting or running, just remove your clothes and join in. Say, whether I fear you, I don't know. The power of God is here. Well, because it is so contrary to their personality that you know that power is here. I mean, even I'm talking about. Yeah. My pastor used to say that if praise and worship is going on and you want to know whether the worship is getting is solid, don't look at me, my pastor. Because all he ever does is just so the worship leader can never be encouraged looking at him. Somebody say why? He's not expressive. But when it's the Holy Ghost, if you see him scream, you'll be shocked that such a person can scream. You'll be startled. How many of you have seen him? You'll be startled. So it's not even a function of personality. It's allowing Jesus to find expression through you. Glory to God. A Holy Ghost meeting is a meeting where every single one of us, we yield to the things of the Spirit. Every one of us. Say, I'm among that company. Among that glorious company. I yield to the things of the Spirit. Anytime I want to. Well, go ahead and shout this morning. The question. You notice after the shout, laughter. That means you guys, it's like just, laughter just comes after. How many of you have noticed that? You know what you did? When you shouted willfully, you activated the other side. Then laughter starts coming. From the laughter, gift of the Spirit starts flowing. So you are the one who starts it. It's like God is waiting on you. God, by revelation, will tell us, I want to get this and this and this done in this meeting, but it depends on the yieldedness of the people of God who carry the Spirit of God within them. Glory to God. Glory to God. So how far we go in the meeting? There are confessions you are making. There is a prayer. You have been praying every day for at least 1 hour concerning this meeting. As you make those declarations, you are setting things in place. Angelic activities are taking place already because there's a deposit being made in the meeting spiritually from your utterances, from your declarations, from your prayer. But the one thing you should never do is stand aloof. The Bible says that God who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance that belongs to the saints in the... Are you among the saints in the light? He has qualified. Say, I've been qualified to be a participator of that inheritance that belongs to the saints in the light. Glory to God. So it says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Or you receive power and that power is you allowing the Holy Ghost to come upon you. You put him on display. Glory to God. And I want to show you something quickly. Look at that Acts chapter 2, verse 15. Look at what Jesus, look at what Peter said. Peter is explaining what happened on the day of Pentecost to the people that came around. Peter said, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is what? But the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. in the morning. Look at what Peter said. For this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall. So look at the word shall is the strongest affirmation in the English language. The shall simply means with the outpouring of the spirit comes an enabling. The word shall speaks about ability. They shall. They shall. So the spirit is poured, they shall. Now the issue is this. How was the spirit poured on the day of Pentecost? If you follow Luke's account, what you will see is this. They sat down. Then the spirit fell on them. If you follow Jesus' teaching, they sat down. Then the spirit came out of them. There's a difference. Should I say that again? If you follow Luke's narrative, the impression you have is they sat down, the spirit fell upon them. If you follow Jesus' narrative, they sat down, the spirit came out of where? Out of them to where? Outside. How many of you agree with that? So notice, I will pour out of my spirit upon all. Look at that figure of speech. Upon all flesh. So let's read it. Where is the spirit of God now? Where is the spirit of God now? Do you have a physical body? Don't answer that question you have. Now, so this is Mrs. Odebumi now. The spirit comes from where? Out of our spirit. To where? Upon. Is she part of all flesh? Say yes, so. She's part of all flesh, isn't she? So the spirit is poured out of where? From out of her to where? So if the spirit can be poured out of her, whatever supply comes out of her can affect many of us, isn't it? How many of you agree with that? So, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Then what will happen with what has been poured out? Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So the outpouring is an enablement to do something. Now, let me show you verse 33 again. Look at it this way. Verse 33. Therefore, he's talking about Jesus, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having what? Received of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost. He has what? Shed for this, which you now see and hear. Now, pay attention. Don't run away now. Don't lose your Bible yet. Okay? Jesus said in John 14, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll send a comforter to you. Look at John 14, 16. I want to show you something here. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father. What will the Father do? He will give you one. That he may abide with you forever. Now let me tell you. When Jesus, I will pray the Father. Did Jesus say the Father will give me or he'll give you? He will give me or give you. Okay. What did the Bible say about when the Holy Ghost is given? What would Jesus have accomplished before the Holy Ghost is given? He will have been what? Glorified. So, is it safe to say when Jesus is glorified, that's a signal that the Holy Ghost has been what? Given. Let me now ask you here. Is it Jesus that received the Holy Ghost or us? Again, is it Jesus that received the Holy Ghost or us? Good. You know, John introduced Jesus this way. I indeed is baptized with water, but they cometh one after me. The likeness of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So Jesus, listen, doesn't receive the Holy Ghost. He baptizes men with the Holy Ghost. How many of you agree with that? Remember again, John 7, it says, out of his belly. So he is the one who has the Holy Ghost, who gives the Holy Ghost. I will pray the Father simply means, I have the right for the Holy Ghost to be given to you if I've been glorified. Do you agree with that? So now, pay attention now. Let's go back to verse 33 of Acts again. And let's read it a bit differently. Because again, remember, this is an historical account, isn't it? So we have to allow other things Jesus said to explain that verse. Verse 33 again. You will get this in Jesus' name. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, who is he referring to? Who is he referring to? Where are you also? Where are you also? At Father's right hand. So are you where Jesus is? Pay attention now. I want you to see the subtle switch in Peter's message. See what it says. Therefore, Jesus, being better than God exalted, and having what? Received of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. So, on the day of Pentecost, there were things to see and things to hear. The things they saw and they heard was the activity of who? Was the activity of who? The answer, you can't miss the answer. Whether you say Jesus, you are right. The saint, you are right. So, let me ask again. The activity of who? You are still afraid. Don't be like, this is short. Be bold. The activity of Jesus or the saints? Or both? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, being by the hand of God, who is at the hand of God exalted? Who is at the hand of God exalted? Jesus, isn't it? Are you also there? Are you sitting in the same place? Now, your being seated there, listen carefully, means you have received the Spirit. Yes or no? Have you received the Spirit? Now, when it now says, being by the hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this. Remember, I told you in Ephesians 1 that God gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that one fills all in all. So if Jesus wants to express anything, how does he express it? By himself or through his body? So when he said he has shed for this, is he has demonstrated through the church. He has expressed through the church. We are seated where he is what? Seated. What did they see and hear? They didn't see God walking up and down in red hat, green shoes, blue trousers, and yellow pants. What they saw was 120 people demonstrating power. Isn't it? So, Peter says, what you are seeing and hearing is Jesus manifesting himself. But how did he manifest? Through who? The church. Hallelujah. If you understand him, say amen. Beautiful. That's so important. So, when he said, he being by the right hand of God exalted, Peter doesn't tell you are seated there. It is Paul that now tells that also means you. You are seated there. And on high is where the power is. So when Jesus shed for, what shed for means to express fully, holding nothing back. He shed for through the saints. Where his body is the head. We are acting on what his instructions. But you can't see him. Who can you see? Us. Hallelujah. So what you see and hear, who are you seeing and you are hearing from? The saints. But what are you seeing expression? Jesus and his power. Say amen. Amen. Do you get it now? So when you shout, who is shouting? You are still not getting it. When you shout, who is shouting? Christ. I hope you understand that we are inextricably linked together by identity. Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul had to ask, who are you, Lord? I met Stephen. I met other ones. But you, we have never met. I can't persecute you. I just said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. What was he saying? Every saint you went after me. When they cried, I was the one crying. When they sang, I was the one singing. We are the new creation. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. So, he being by the right hand of God exalted, his exaltation is my exaltation. His sitting is my sitting. His reigning is my what? Reigning. So he has shed for this means he demonstrated through the church his victory. So every time we have a Holy Ghost meeting, the victory of Jesus is on display. So let me ask the question now. Will you yield to that victory today? It's up to you. We are the ones. You've been feeling tired for a while. Tired such that you find yourself sometimes falling suddenly as though you're about to pass out or fall asleep. You're not even conscious that you're already partially asleep. Stand to your feet. Quickly. It's part of the meeting. You just it's like you're just tired. Just like as though you just almost fall asleep. Just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's all say together and point at them. In the name of Jesus, strength, vitality is ministered to you. Your cells, your tissues, your organ, your entire system is invigorated by the power of God. Minister life to you right now. Your strength is renewed. Every weakness is banished from your body. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Who did you just see on display by the word of knowledge and gifts of healings? Jesus. How does he display himself? Through the church. So, here's what I just did. I yielded. So, in Acts chapter 2 verse 33, you can say, Jesus, being by the right hand of God exalted, he shed forth, or is expressing through who? Through me. If you stand up to shout, he's expressing through you. That's the way it works. Why? We are seated on high. On high is where all the authority is. So there is nothing we can't do in the spirit and by the spirit. That's why the more we yield to the spirit, we see less and less of what the world calls impossibility. We walk in more and more of the possibilities that belongs to our inheritance. Hallelujah. So we're the ones who take up. We're the ones who put on. We're the ones who wear. It depends on us. It depends on us. So it's as simple as yeah. You are panic stricken and you're running up and down. Elter skelter because the deadline, the pressure of the news is weighing on you, almost leading to depression. But lift up your hands and give him praise, for your prayers are heard. Lift up your hands and celebrate him, for his grace is more than sufficient. He leads you out of that dark place. He leads you into the fullness of his blessing. He brings you out of that tight corner. He brings you into a mountain where you are shouting and singing. So sing of his goodness. Sing of his praise. He moves you out of the place of confinement. He brings you a place of absolute freedom. For the needs are met, the bills are paid, and the victory is wrought. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. So take the report of the doctor concerning that child, place it on the floor, walk over it, then dance and shout and say, I change this report. I change this report. I change this report. I change this report. And the fragrance of the Holy One will be seen in your experience. And a health and vitality that is off the highest place will be made manifest concerning him. Hallelujah. 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 Now, one of the things we're going to look at as we go on is this, that there's a prosamo tilevrashtia, a suzo gratan igedie, a shenogro, a sivredika. Yeah, you got there. They said it was too late. It's no longer approved, but it will be approved. It will be approved. It will be approved. It will be approved. Even when they say no to others, you will have a yes. You will have a yes. You will have a yes. Going to one or two people and hearing a low, being refused, doesn't mean it's the end of the road. For your help is from above. Your help is from above. So open your heart and embrace. Open your eyes and see. It will be a new beginning, but it will be better than how it was before. It will be far better than how it was before. And you will rejoice and be glad. And your heart shall sing of his praises. For the goodness of God is made manifest for you to see and to enjoy a victory that never ends. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's how we do concerning doctor's reports. We laugh. Woo! Glory to God. We laugh, we laugh, we laugh, we laugh. We rejoice for his victory is more than sufficient. Just coming, not just from near, just coming even from afar too. Just coming from afar too. Recommendations and commendations. Coming, coming, coming. Coming, coming, coming. They said, oh God. Hours of prayer. Hours of prayer. What kind of preparation is this? You ask yourself. Instead of to pray in the night, I've been praying. Instead of to pray more than you thought you would need, but you have been praying, saying, this is the normal slant. This is the normal training that the saints receive. Oh, but I have a work for you. For there are people to be taught. And there's a dimension of the miraculous that will begin to spring forth as you begin to teach. So understand that the preparation is not for naught. For there's depth and growth that has been taking place over time where I put you. So keep the standard and keep steady with what you are doing. I will bring you to the people and I will bring them to you. And you will sit over and be able to minister my grace. A people strong, even a tribe, a new tribe, I will walk in the fullness of the Holy One. Glory to God. Well, that's for somebody in ministry. Ah, kumbala news and retail and ash the coast. On Zavradanka, etelegi, yesho, ready. Tentacles spreading beyond this coast. Tentacles reaching to other coasts. Yeah, extending beyond the borders of this nation. Extending to other borders. Lesusa vrada kole, esuma. Esuma, esuma, so take up as much as you can. Receive all that you desire. For there is no limit to that which the Father has made available. So place no limit in your mind. Say the turnaround is now. Say the change is now. Say the increase is now. Say the abundance is now. Then take it up and begin to These walk in the fullness of the manifestation of that which I believe. Go away, go away, go away, go away, go away, go away. Glory to God. That's about Lukush. Jesus broke Castevra Catalikia. Oh, glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's meant to be walking around. Somebody's meant to be walking around. I don't know who the person is. Yeah, just go ahead. What are you waiting for? You waited too long already. Not even run. Just walk. Just walk. I saw you walking around. Just walk. Glory to God. Well, in a meeting like this, you will... You've been called back. But when you were called back, you thought it was a demotion. No, it's come and collect the payment you were meant to have received before. Yeah. In every place where payment is due, you will go back and you will receive. And they will pay you to the full. And they will issue you new contracts also. Zakus of Rastalangando. Boundary. Yeah. Sometimes there are physical actions we're led to do in order to express the spirit. We're just prompted on the inside. What do you do? You just act it out. In the Holy Ghost, you just act it out. You just go ahead and just act it out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I said something last week because it's going to greatly enable the meetings we're going to have. How many of you remember I said that clapping is neither praise nor worship? How many of you remember? Let me see. Clapping is not what? Praise nor worship. In the New Testament, a shout is praise. Dancing is praise. Laughter is praise. But you will never see anywhere in the New Testament where we are asked to clap. Clapping is applause. Somebody says, can we clap to the music here? Yeah? But it's not praise. It is what you call it that matters. Don't think it is praise. Can you dance to the music? Yeah, you can. Because the music has a rhythm and your body wants to switch you. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't call it praise. So when you're clapping your hands, understand, there's no prescription, such prescription in the New Testament. Our prescription is to lift up holy hands and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we sing songs. The Bible says that speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and what? Spiritual songs. Singing and what? Making melody in your hearts to the Lord. As part of New Testament worship. So as you're doing that, what you're doing is that you're creating an atmosphere for a stronger expression of the Spirit. That's what you're doing. You're creating an atmosphere for a stronger expression of the Spirit. So New Testament worship entails the fact that for us to get more, we have to line up more with the Word of God. We remove everything that is fleshly. We allow only the things that are of the Spirit to find expression. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some things may not make sense, but they make God. Hallelujah. So, I want us to be ready and set. The meetings ahead are going to be glorious ones. We've already started. A fourth is already taking place. It's already unfolding. The fullness of what the Father has in mind for us. And there will be dramatic turnarounds. Dramatic turnarounds. Even if you seemingly have been stuck for a while, you'll be unstuck. Because the power of God will move you beyond the place of limitation. So don't come to this meeting saying it's ordinary. There's nothing ordinary concerning things of the Spirit of God. There's nothing ordinary. We are in power. We are fellowshipping with power. And we're expressing power every day. Hallelujah. So make up your mind that when you're coming, you will yield. Place a demand by your confessions. Place a demand by your prayer. Let there be a supply of Spirit in and through you so that the glory of God can find full expression fully in our midst, even as we yield ourselves and give ourselves to the Spirit. Say, on I is where I am. Seated with Christ is who I am. And where I am, I take up the power of God. I express it. Well, express some now. Just go ahead and just express some now. We don't respond the same way. Some are fast, some are slow. That's not what matters. What matters is that just do your own. You understand? Tell your neighbor, do your thing. Do your thing. And do your thing. Do your thing. That you are jumping doesn't mean I should jump. I may run. But just do your thing. Do your thing. Just do your thing. Take
take your time, but do your thing. Yeah, do your thing. Just do your thing. Do your thing. Just do your thing. Whatever you do, don't stay quiet. Don't just stay still, but do your thing. Flow with the grace of God. Flow with the grace of God. Flow with the grace of God. Flow with the God. Just flow with it. Where he is where we are. Where we are is where he is. His glory is goodness. I hear someone say, and I say it on your behalf, I see by God. I know by God. I hear by God. I run. Glory to God. I run by God. I see by God. I know by God. I hear by God. He has made me glad. I am so glad. I will rejoice for
He has made me glad.
Hallelujah.
He has made me glad.
I am so glad.
I will rejoice for He has made me glad.
Oh, hallelujah.
He has made me glad.
The power of God is flowing, really, actually. You know, there's something about our physical activity that just releases some things into the atmosphere. Just releases. Those things are, you know, just releases now. But right now, when the meeting was going on, your hands were burning. There were one or two people I know who function that way, really. I really want them to just come out. Your hands were burning. You sense that thing in your palms that was burning. Just stand to your feet. Your palms were burning. Earlier on when we're ministering, okay. I don't know what this means, but I just hear that they've stopped sending, but they'll start sending again. I don't know what it means. To make sense to you. Hallelujah. Alright, so I want us to stretch for an answer towards place. You just stretch for your answer, just stretch your answer place. You hear? And every other person just stretch your answer towards place, this handkerchief. We soak this handkerchief, we release God's power into this handkerchief. We want to send it to the sick. It's endued with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. God wrought miracles, unusual miracles. That handkerchief's taken from the body of the saints, laid on the sick. The sickness departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your virtue, for your life, for your power at work in these mediums to reach the sick, to heal, to effect a healing and a cure, to work a miracle, to work a miracle, to work a miracle. This morning, release your power. Thank you, for that sick one is healed. At the instance of this handkerchief, the power of God goes into operation in that body. The sickness is cast out. Thank you, because that disease condition is reversed. Thank you, because that blood is cleansed. That one is healed. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.